Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Earlier this week, I attended a workshop on emergency preparation. The presenter asked this question: what would a good emergency kit include? And then he answered his own question by saying, well, that depends. It depends on if you are preparing for a power outage for 3 days, or compare that with you're preparing for a flood. Or perhaps you are preparing to be evacuated to a local school for some indeterminate amount of time. Each one of those emergency kits would have to contain different things. And then he concluded by saying, if you're preparing for the big one, that time when the Cascadia Fault slips, when we have expect a 9.0 earthquake, it's said that the earth may shake for 6 minutes if that actually happens. That emergency kit would require completely different things and lots more things to help us to be ready for that kind of event. And so all of that begs the question, how do we prepare for an unknown future? We humans don't know what's going to happen in the future, but there are always those people who will make predictions. Let me give you some examples. In 1926, the man who invented the cathode ray tube, what was used in TVs prior to flat screens, said, theoretically, television may be feasible, but I consider it an impossibility, a development about which we should waste little time dreaming about. Then Thomas Watson in 1943, the chairman of the board of IBM, said, there is little likely that there's any need for more than 5 computers in the whole world. And Albert Einstein said in 1932, now Albert Einstein was a pretty smart guy, there is not the slightest indication that nuclear energy will be of any value. It would mean that the atom would have to be split at will. His thought was that could not be done. And then this one was made in 1977. I remember that. Maybe you do too. Ken Olson, the president of Digital Equipment Corporation, said this: there is no reason for any individual to have a computer in his home. We are not real good at predicting. But as the church year comes to a close, the readings tend toward end times, and that's kind of where we are in the year right now, toward thinking about the end of this year, the beginning of next year. And so we tend to take on that thought process of what's going to happen in the future. In the gospel today, Jesus says something about the future that kind of piques the interest of the disciples. They are apparently walking out of the temple or somewhere near the temple at least. And one of them makes the statement about, just look at the beauty of the buildings and the inscriptions on these stones. The temple at that time was a complex of buildings, more than just one building, but a whole complex of buildings. It had been under construction for 46 years. It wasn't completed for another 15 years or so. It was seemingly impossible for us to understand how it might have been built because some of the stones had these dimensions. Some stones were 40 feet long by 12 feet wide by 8 feet high. That's a big rock. If you were to put that rock in this building, it would take up most of the area of the pews on this side from front to back and from a little wider and 8 feet deep about here. That is a pretty good sized stone. And yet, they are thinking this must be a building that's going to be around forever because that rock got there after a lot of work. And so they were thinking this would be something that would last forever. But Jesus responds with a prophecy. There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. That must have shocked the disciples because they didn't say anything at the time. It wasn't until later that they finally had the courage to ask Jesus, well, when is this going to happen? And what will be the signs so that we know when it's coming? And then Jesus gives a whole list of warnings. He says, don't be led astray, because there's going to be people who come in my name, and they will claim to be the Messiah, and they will lead many astray. And Jesus says there will be wars, and there will be rumors of wars, and nations and kingdoms will rise up against each other. There will be earthquakes. There will be famines. Families will be divided against each other. And then he says, that's just the beginning. He continues beyond our reading for today to give a fairly extensive, detailed list of more signs that might suggest the end times are coming. And it's not until verse 32 that he finally says, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not the angels in heaven, not the Son, but only the Father. And then he goes on, be on guard and keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. And later he says, angels do not know, but only God knows. In spite of that statement, there have been literally hundreds of predictions regarding the end of the world. If you think back, if you do some research, you find out that over the last 100 years, there's been at least one prediction almost every year for the end of the world. And so what do we take from this reading today? What can we take home so that we are comforted, at least, so that we're encouraged? Do we begin to prepare for the apocalypse? Do we dig shelters and stock them with food and water? Better yet, we could buy an island in the South Pacific and just wait it all out there. Why does all of this have to happen? Earthquakes and fires and storms and all of the calamities that go on in the world. What kind of thing should we be thinking about? As I read through the text and kind of identified some specific things that Jesus was saying, it occurred to me that we need a spiritual preparedness kit. And so here are some of the things that we should include in that emergency spiritual preparedness kit. First, we need to remember that the world is broken and it won't be fixed. Everything that Jesus mentioned has happened, and more will continue to happen. And those things are there to remind us that, in fact, we are in the end times and the end is coming. Second thing we need is to remember that God is in control. In the reading that Jesus was preparing the disciples for what to expect in their lives, he said, all of these things must take place. The word that is translated must take place means it is necessary that these things will take place. It's necessary for them to happen. As we've said before, God has a plan. He's in control, and he's going to carry out that plan, even if it's not clear for us. We need to trust that God is in control. We need to remember that these things are just the beginning and not the end either. And so the third thing we need to put in our preparedness kit is to put our faith in Jesus. He says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Put your faith in the one who has charge of the future. Put your faith in the word, in the one who is in control, the one who died on the cross so that we have that eternal life, that hope that we have because we are Christians. And number four, we need to be on guard. We need to be heads up all the time. There's this guy called Satan out there. He's called the great deceiver, the great liar. He would love to lead us astray by giving us little thoughts that question in our mind what's going on. He would like to lead us away from God. He would like to tell us stories that aren't true. And so be aware of those who claim to have answers to solve all the problems of the world, to make them all go away. Another thing that we need in our emergency preparedness kit is to persevere. Paul talks a lot about persevering. Jesus' last words in our reading today are, "The one who endures will be saved. The one who hangs in there, the one who sticks with it is the one that will be saved." And so I would encourage you to stand firm in God and his plan to redeem not only you and me, but the whole world. Because this world is broken and it's not going to change. Remember what Jesus said when he finally answered the disciples' question. Concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, not even the Son, but only the Father. And finally, perhaps the single most important element that should be part of your preparedness kit is the diligent use of the means of grace. That's God's word. That's God's sacraments. In your baptism, you were made a believer and you were given a spiritual life. And that spiritual life, that Holy Spirit now that lives within you, will sanctify you and bring you up in the faith. And then as often as possible, receive the sacrament that we receive today at the altar. Because that's one of the ways that God will continue to work in your heart. When we receive his body and blood, that strengthens our faith, that nourishes our faith. It strengthens our spiritual life. It gives us that hope and that confidence to go on. And so I encourage you to diligently and conscientiously use that means of grace so that it will provide all the spiritual strength that is necessary for you to lead a godly life and ultimately reach that goal of heaven. Lord, grant this to us all. Amen. Now the peace that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.